Everyone hits a bump in the road. What do you do with it? Be inspired as we explore the ways people experience, navigate, and manage the ups and downs and twists and turns in this road trip called life. Mark Philpott had it all. He had a remarkable corporate job traveling the world, great hotels, restaurants, and events. He was an endurance athlete and philanthropist who started his own NGO. Until one day in Belgium, he realized that his world lacked compassion. And from that moment, his life changed. Today, I'd like to welcome Mark Philpott. Mark has an amazing story. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, thanks, Pat, first of all, for having me on your great show and to be supporting your fantastic work that you're doing across the world. I'm a big believer and I'm a fan of yours, so thank you very much for having me here today. Look, we've all got a story. I think that's one of the fascinating things about mankind, isn't it? That everyone has a story and we can learn so much from listening to each other's stories, I think. And you know, my story is, I don't want to say it's unique in any way. I think there's a lot of people that have probably traveled the path that I have in different aspects of my life. But I was a corporate warrior for many years. I spent most of my life on aircraft traveling around the world for a big multinational company, sitting in boardrooms and looking outside in all the amazing cities that I was in at the time and wondering, what's life really about? Is it about sitting in boardrooms and looking out glass towers? And before I knew it, a couple of decades had gone by and I was getting older and perhaps none the wiser. And I had a couple of epiphanies along the way because I thought, well, hang on a minute, something's going to have to happen here for me to really realize what the meaning of life is all about. And I was living in Brussels in Belgium at the time, and it was one very cold Sunday afternoon and I was very depressed. In fact, I was in a low state that I had probably never been in my life. And it was a combination of a lot of things. It was the actual day-to-day routine of flying around the world and having business meetings with people. It wasn't really bringing me any value. I was making shareholders of a company very rich and prosperous. But inside my soul, I was empty. I had a litany of relationships that hadn't worked out because I was traveling so much. I was in a foreign country that I wasn't exactly happy in. I was a single guy at the time. And I thought, I can't do this for the rest of my life. So at the time, I was watching, inadvertently, I was watching a TV program. And the other side of the story is I was actually contemplating taking my own life. So that's how dark and desperate it was on this particular day. And I'd thought about the consequences of doing that prior to actually thinking about how I was going to do it. And I thought, well, you know, for those people that do care about me around the world, it would be a pretty savage thing if I actually ended up going through with it. So there was a combination of things that stopped me that day. And the main one was what was happening in front of me on the television. It was a young man who was a sportsman in Belgium, and he'd just had a horrific accident and become paralyzed. And I watched him, and all of a sudden my own grief went to the side, and I thought, hang on a minute, there's somebody out there that's worse off than I am. And this young boy who was in this wheelchair looked a forlorn sight because he was one of the best athletes in the world prior to his accident. And at the age of 21, that dream was taken away from him in a very freak accident. And it kind of woke me up from my depressive state watching this young boy. And I thought all of a sudden, hang on a minute, there's something here. I've got to follow this signal that the universe has just sent me via my television set. So I made the decision that I wanted to reach out to this young guy and have a chat. And I don't really know why at the time, but I just had this intuition situation going on that it was a gut feel that I should be doing this. So long story short, I reached out to him. And he was quite, as you would imagine, surprised to hear from this guy ringing out of nowhere. And a few days later, I actually went to meet him. And long story short, we became good friends and he helped me change my life, because what I did as a result of that process was I started to become compassionate for the first time in my life about somebody else rather than thinking about my own woes and worries all the time. And it taught me a big lesson, because I'd spent most of my life in the corporate world, which, as we all know, is a very cutthroat business. And we think about profits and making targets for other people and all the rest of it. And we become very centered and self-centered in that process. And I didn't in particular, because I was in such a fortuitous position where I was flying around the world every day and I was staying in fancy hotels and, you know, flying up the front end of the aircraft and all those sorts of things. And in my buy time, I was able to, you know, go and watch Formula One Grand Prix and go to some pretty expensive parties around the world. And it was all very shallow. So this was the first time that reality hit me in the face. And I'm not too ashamed to say that it was a good wake-up call for me. And it started me on a very lengthy journey from that day into the world of philanthropy and giving back and trying to make a difference in the world. And I have that young man to thank for that, because he was the catalyst of change. And it was through that particular experience, meeting a young guy in a wheelchair, that I actually ended up meeting Christopher Reeve, Superman. And that was another life-defining moment. So I think, you know, the lesson learned from me is, when we think of our own troubles as being, you know, life-shattering and life-ending, they often aren't. And there's always someone else out there that can often teach us and can and do teach us lessons about not only our own mortality, but also the situation that other people are confronted with. And I think when we reach our hands out to help others and embrace that opportunity that's given to us to be compassionate in life, then we can change our own lives around and make it better for ourselves. So yeah, that was a great lesson for me. And it really centered me around the things that I became very passionate about in my life. A number of years later, I started my own global not-for-profit organization as a result of that experience I had with that young man. I started to help people in all over the world and bring volunteers into different activities that we were doing in our organization. And those activities actually still remain as a very central part of my life and who I am as a human being today.
It's an amazing story. One of the things I've noticed lately, since I follow you on Facebook and social media, is you've also really dedicated yourself to changes for better health.
Yeah. Look, Pat, I think one of the things that we all know is it's never too late in life to make changes, right? You know, life is so fantastic. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. It doesn't matter what your situation is. And I think we're learning that through this current global, you know, situation we're all confronted with at the moment. There's so many creative things happening around the world. And, you know, I've taken some inspiration from that. And I thought, right, this is a time when I can maybe, you know, tick off some of those boxes that I've been missing in my life. And health and well-being was certainly one of them. And I've been living in denial for a lot of years. Look, I've run 69 marathons in my lifetime. I've done, you know, Ironman triathlons around the world and done all sorts of endurance sports events. And immediately after those events, I would go and load up on junk food and I would treat my body abysmally. So I've just recently decided, right, in fact, 4 weeks ago, I decided, right, that's enough. I've got to walk the talk. Here I am trying to tell everybody else to live a healthy life and I've got to do it myself. So I started off by doing a 48-hour fast and had never done a fast before in my life. So I didn't know what it was like to go hungry for a couple of days. And it was the best thing that I could have ever done, because on the outside of that, I stopped my craving for sugar. I've now stopped for 4 weeks. I've had no processed sugar in 4 weeks. I'm sleeping like I've never slept before in my life. I've got so much energy and creativity coming out of my soul. And it was pretty strong before I started this health kick. So now I've gone into kind of hyper mode. My puppy tells me I'm in hyper mode every day. And yeah, I've just recently tried to spread that love and get other people around the world onto the same bandwagon, because, you know, I'm now walking the talk and I'm feeling amazing as a result of it.
It is incredible. Your diet is so important. And I always tell people, if you can get off sugar, you will have more energy and clarity, and sugar and caffeine, actually, more energy and clarity than you've ever had before. And they think I'm crazy, but if you can just give it a few days, it's incredible how it can change your life.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, as a cancer survivor myself, it's one of those things where, you know, we know when our body is broken. And if we listen to our body, not only in the times that it's broken, but in times of when it might be run down or where it might be tired, or it might be actually craving something nutritious that you're not giving it. And if we actually truly listen, and I just made a video this morning, I said, look, you know, stop telling yourself lies about what you're eating. You're the person that's responsible for what goes into your mouth, right? And I was the one lying to myself. I was saying, look, I could have this ice cream today. It's not going to hurt me. And I could have this piece of chocolate tomorrow. It's not going to hurt me. And look, all those things in moderation are okay. We all know that. But, I was excessive and I tend to do things excessively in my life. So I had to own up and take ownership of that, which I have now done so.
Now, I have to backtrack. I never knew that you had cancer.
Yeah, I had melanomas, and I also had another malignant growth when I was young, actually, in my leg that was removed, and went through a pretty bad time at that stage. But yeah, here I am today. I'm fit and healthy. And again, these hurdles that we have in our life are sent to us for a reason, right? They wake us up. They make us aware of what's going on, not only in our lives, but those that are close to us. And often they can turn into very positive experiences. As we're seeing around the world now, I think that we've got two kinds of people out there, those that are living in fear about this pandemic and those that are seeing the opportunities as a result of it. And I think it's fantastic as I look at people who are coming up with innovative ways to do business. You and I are chatting on a podcast today on different parts of the world. I'm sitting on my sailboat here on the ocean in Australia. I think it's amazing what we can do today with technology and a little bit of foresight, right? So, yeah.
I think it is too. And, one of the things you always say is get out of your comfort zone. And I think once you're out of your comfort zone, that's the place where creativity can enter.
And also authenticity. I think when you're really out of your comfort zone, we were just talking before we came on air today that I'd spent some time as a homeless man. And it was during that period of my life that I can put my hand on my chest and say, well, I probably got to the closest form of my authenticity that I could possibly ever dream by being in that situation, because I'd stripped away everything else. There was no materialism. There was no business card or identity linked to a particular job or a big company. I was out there in the wilderness, so to speak, of life, and I got to see up close and personal what humanity was all about. And I look back at that period, and that was another very significant life-changing experience for me that taught me a lot about myself, but also about the generosity of human beings. And we see that every day if we open our eyes.
I agree. I think there's so much beauty and joy if we just take the time to look. I found, like you, I've been through a bit of a journey, and it has led to a lack of materialism. And I'm very out of step with many people around me as a result of that, which is fine. But I found that a lack of materialism opened the world to adventure. And one of the things I've learned through COVID is having some adventure is essential to who I am.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think in terms of when you actually, I'd like to throw a question back to you. What is adventure to you? How do you define adventure?
I think you can find adventure in small things, in daily things, and in big things. Obviously, the idea of traveling around the world is a great adventure. But one of the things I did with COVID upon us is I bought a macro lens for my camera. I've become a really addicted to photography. And that forced me rather than look at this huge, large picture, which is where I usually am, to go deep and small and look around me at the world right in my backyard. And it's an amazing world. You just have to stop and see.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. And I asked you that question because I feel as though some people get hung up on the thought that they have to travel around the world to have that big adventure, yet right outside your door, as you're just saying. And one of the things that I love to do is I take my little puppy dog out for our walk late in the afternoon and we watch the sunset together. And for me, that's an adventure because every day that sunset's different and it's so beautiful and it's so unique and it's free. Like, we don't have to pay to watch a sunset, right? And I've actually got him trained now where he actually sits on my lap and we're looking at the sunset together and he's actually taking it in. And it's an incredible, that's to me is an adventure that we're having together, which is extraordinary.
It is. And I think that people just need to be alert. I think that these bumps in the road can be a portal into a much richer, more conscious, more meaningful life, but you have to be willing to take that leap. And one of the things that you said that, oh, I thought it was so spot on. Hold on, I made a note of it. You said the journey to freedom was not about was about not doing what we're conditioned to do.
Yeah, and that's, I understand that that can be really hard because it was for me. And if you can imagine, for over two decades, I was conditioned to perform as a corporate warrior, right? And, you know, this is not a judgment on the corporate world, because I was a player. I was the person that voluntarily went in there and said, right, this is a career path for me. But in realizing those things, I thought, well, hang on a minute. I've got a choice ultimately here. I can, and it's really interesting what you just said, Pat, because when we start to define who we really are, and if we take away those materialistic things and we become a homeless person, in fact, people all of a sudden can't identify with that. It's strange for them, and they feel uncomfortable with that.
They feel very uncomfortable. I can remember, yeah. And I always try to present it in a way that was palatable. I would just smile and say, I'm homeless, and I dress well, I have a decent car, that kind of thing. So people would laugh. If I got a laugh, I knew I was okay.
Yeah.
But there was a great deal of discomfort, not very far below the surface.
Yeah, I understand. And I think the challenge for me in that process was I wanted to get to a stage where it didn't matter to me what other people thought, that yeah. I was doing this for my own reasons. And it didn't matter that people didn't understand it. I didn't want them to understand it. A lot of people took interest in the process because they were quite fascinated that I would go from being a, you know, highly paid corporate executive to choosing to not having any fixed abode. And also to put it out there to the universe for people to show me love, to provide me with shelter and to provide me with food. And that was a request that I went through when I did that social experiment. So the bump in the road can be something such as a medical condition. It can be a choice that we make every day to, I always go back to the movie Sliding Doors, because I think that was so great, where you know, either you catch the train at that moment or you don't, and you got to wait for the next one. That often determines what our life journey can turn out like, right?
Oh, absolutely. I look back on my life. There was one adventure I did not take, and it's always haunted me. I think it would have led me to a very different path. And it was, you know, some decades ago when the Exxon Valdez had that terrible oil spill in Alaska. And I was in a situation where I could have taken time off and volunteered and go up and help clean up the beaches and the animals, and I didn't. And that has always haunted me. Mm. And I'm convinced that had I taken that path, my life, I know my life would have been very different. Yeah. And I have no regrets. I've had a very interesting life path. But I think that when these doors of opportunity open, you have to jump through them if you can. You just have to.
Mm. And you talk about the comfort zone, and I think for people listening today to understand really what that's all about, it's about, for me anyway, it's about growth. It's about getting to the other side of that fear that we all hold on to, whether it be, you know, and for me, up until recently, it was my diet. I had a fear of actually eating well, believe it or not, because I thought it was boring, and I thought that what I was putting into my body, because it was so laced with sugar and it was keeping me high all the time, that I thought it was okay. But the fear of eating well has actually turned into a love and a joy and a reconciliation with my own body to say, hey, this is okay. Not only is it okay, it's absolutely fantastic. So when we get through that, you know, that comfort zone and we press through to the other side many, many times. And I remember once sitting down and talking to Christopher Reeve and Robin Williams about this actually, and we talked about the whole, you know, what's on the other side of the comfort zone. And Robin Williams actually said, you know, what's on the other side of your comfort zone? It's the true you. And, you know, I thought that was, and, you know, years later, obviously, after things happened in his life, we found out what the true him was, right, in terms of Robin Williams. And a lot of people didn't know the truth, that the guy was sheltering himself from this hugely painful experience of depression, right? And a lot of people have got that, and a lot of people are dealing with that right today. And all I can say is that on the other side, if you give yourself the opportunity and if you let go of the fear, there is going to be something amazing that you can embrace and be part of.
I also think facing fear is part of our journey. And if we can learn to face fear, the fear is always a little different, has a slightly different tone, but it's the same. If we can develop the courage to face our fear, we move through it. And as you say, it opens up our world to amazing experiences in many cases. And I think that once you really go through really terrible fear at least once, it gives you the confidence you can do it again and again and again.
Yeah, indeed. I play a little game with myself every day when I wake up. And the first thing that happens is my puppy jumps up onto me and says, come on, it's time to get up and go out. And the little game I play with myself is I say, right, I've got 24 hours to live. And I put myself in a mindset that this is my last day. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make the absolute most of it. And we all hear about making the most of every minute or every day that we've got. But how many people actually truly do that? So I get up every morning and I say to myself, this is it. This is my last day. So get out there and make the most of it and do whatever you can to A, make the world a better place first, and then to enjoy every experience that you're about to have. So again, Pat, I want to thank you for inviting me on your show today because it's giving me a highlight of my day as I face what could be. Who knows? We don't know when it's all going to end, right? So
nobody knows.
And one of these moments.
I love your game because it's too easy to get into a rut. Even when you've pushed through all these barriers again and again, you can still fall back into a rut. I know certainly for me during COVID, it forced me to rethink all of Cancer Road Trip, put things off a full year. It interfered with potential corporate interest in the program. And for a few weeks, I was just beside myself. And I decided I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while. I thought I would do one more travel-oriented, but it occurred to me a bump in the road was relevant to Cancer Road Trip, to the world, to everything. So I just kind of dove in and went for it, and I suspect it will take me interesting places.
Oh, there's no question about it. And another thing that happened to me in terms of, you know, that life journey and bump in the road was I've just started writing my latest book, and it's about the last 25 days of my father's life. And it's a reflection on, I was fortunate enough to create the opportunity where I spent the last 25 days of his life next to him in his hospital bed. And 24 hours a day, him and I, we built a bridge that we never had in our relationship in our life before. And the reason I just mentioned to you about the game that I play is because I never knew during that time with my father whether he was going to survive until the end of that particular day that we woke up. And one day he didn't. And I got to the stage where I learned how to maximize the 24 hours that I was given with somebody that I loved and was learning to love for perhaps the first time in my life. And it was a very powerful experience, as is writing the book now about that experience. And again, it's giving me an opportunity to go back and reflect about another bump in the road, and that was losing one of my parents. That was a significant bump that affects all of us when we get to that stage in life, and dealing with grief and dealing with loss is something else that can also make us stronger and can also make us more compassionate as we travel our journey along the road.
If you could rewrite your story, would you?
No, I wouldn't change a thing. No, everything, and you know, one day I'd like to make a movie about it because it's an amazing script. And I've just been blessed and fortunate enough to live such a fascinating life on all corners of the world and meet so many amazing people that have, you know, aided to my growth as a human being that I wouldn't change one second of it for anything.
You have an amazing project coming up here in the States, actually. Talk to us a little bit about it because I think it's just fantastic.
Well, I've mentioned to you that previously at the beginning of the show that I've, you know, learned how to become a philanthropist throughout the years. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about when we talk about philanthropy is you don't have to be somebody like a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett with millions and millions of dollars to give back and make a difference in the world. We can all do it. And a lot of people do. They volunteer their time for wonderful organizations. They donate money to all sorts of different causes. The thing I love doing is I love creating projects where I can bring people from all over the world to be involved in making a difference. And my next project has already been 2.5 years in the making. I came across a fascinating, or what I think is a fascinating water-based adventure called the Great Loop, which is a 6,000-mile boating adventure through the eastern states of the United States, from Florida up through the intracoastal waterways to the Hudson River in New York City, up the Hudson River into the Erie Canal system, into the Great Lakes, across to the Mississippi River and down to the Gulf of Mexico. And that's called the Great Loop for people that haven't understood what the Great Loop is. And I came across this on a YouTube video a couple of years ago. I thought, wow, wouldn't it be fantastic to go and do that? Because I live on a boat and I love boats. But wouldn't it be great to involve some young people who are, you know, a little bit off the rails at the moment, and they may not be knowing exactly what they want to do with their lives? Wouldn't it be good to take them on an adventure like this and to give them an opportunity to develop some life skills that they perhaps don't have? And also, importantly, to develop some technical skills. So I've been working in the backgrounds with a lot of friends of mine across the world, and people who have different expertise. They might be photographers, they might be musicians, they might be artists, they might be entrepreneurs. And we're going to create a project where we have a buddy system or a mentorship system where these people from all walks of life with expertise in different fields come together, and they help these 18 to 21 year olds who are going to be on this incredible 6,000 mile adventure with us. And we're going to try and impart our knowledge and wisdom, as are the young people, to the adults, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of two-way learning and inspiration with this journey. And as soon as this horrible, nasty virus leaves us, we're going to be commencing this journey in the United States for about 2 or 3 years. It's going to be a massive undertaking. There's going to be a lot of people involved doing lots of different amazing things. So if you're out there listening to this podcast today and you want to know more about this particular journey, on maybe you want to give back, you want to make a difference to a young person's life or change your own life, then I'm sure Pat will create some links that you can get in touch with us with.
Oh, absolutely. And I look forward to following your journey. Who knows? We'll get a bunch of people together and we'll cheer you on at one of the locations.
That'd be wonderful. Fantastic.
Tell me, what advice do you have for somebody facing their own bump in the road? If you could distill it down, what would you say to somebody?
If it moves you, chase it. That's what I would say. If it moves you, chase it. So, you know, you'll come across something inevitably in your life that it just really pulls at your heartstrings in one way or another, and that's something worth chasing. So I've been fortunate enough that I've had, I guess, signals sent to me in all different steps of my life that this is something you should be chasing right now. It's something that you're passionate about. For me right now, it's podcasting. It's about creating this Great Loop project. It's about exploring the opportunity to change people's lives through all sorts of things. So I'm chasing it. That's what gives me my drive and passion every day. And I think that can be the same for anybody. And it doesn't have to be, again, something that takes you around the world. It can be something you do in your own neighborhood. It could be even just talking over the fence between you and your neighbors and making their lives better. So no matter what it is, if you get that passion one day of something inside you and you feel as though, hey, this is interesting, what should I do? My advice is go after it and see what you can make happen as a result of it.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. Bump in the Road is a production of Cancer Road Trip. Subscribe to the podcast, follow us on social media at Cancer Road Trip, and you can learn more at www.cancerroadtrip.com. Until next time, be safe and be well.